Our scripture reading tonight is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The text tonight is verses 23 and 24. I'm going to read the entire chapter. I do so because the beginning of the chapter sets before us, which is appropriate in this occasion, the return of Jesus Christ and the calling that we have to be ready for the return of Christ. And the passage that we look at tonight, verses 23 and 24, really flows out of that. So 1 Thessalonians 5. But the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. The text, as I said, is verses 23 and 24. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Let's pray. Father, in those things that trouble our souls, whether it's our sin or the circumstances of life, even as we look back upon this year and face what has happened or what is going on in our lives right now, we pray that this word would give hope and comfort to us. We pray, Father, that thou wilt strengthen us in our faith, that we would see what it is that thou art working in our lives until the day in which we were brought to our heavenly home. We pray that we may see thy great goodness and faithfulness and trust in that tonight and as we go forward in our lives. We pray this on the basis of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Amen. The marking of the end of another year provides an opportunity for us to look back. And that's why it is that we worship on this night at the end of another year. We look back. The question for us as we do that is, how do we look back? What do we focus on as we look back? Even in the world, there is a looking back upon the events that have taken place in this past year. You'll find news magazines and you'll find bloggers as well who are taking a look back at the things that have happened in the year 2019, and they give a review of these things. Not only that, but we, in a sense, take a look back. We have a bulletin that's printed and there are some statistics there. And probably as you were sitting before worship tonight, maybe you counted the number of baptisms and you looked at how many confessions of faith and weddings and then deaths as well. And we're interested maybe in some of those statistics. It's a glance back at some of those things that have happened for us as a church. There is a danger for us in looking back, and the danger in looking back is that we do so from a self-centered perspective, that we look at things according to what has happened to me or what has happened to us. And in doing that, we only look back at the events and the circumstances of our lives. And although we do that and we look back at what has happened, and we might do that from a self-centered perspective, and not necessarily wrong either, we must see and understand tonight that there's something more we need to see when we look back. And the perspective that we take as we look back is one of looking back and seeing God in the midst of all of these things. We don't take Him out of the picture and just look at what has happened and what has happened to us, but we want to see what God has done. So we take the focus off of ourselves and it goes on to Him. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24 helps us to do that. As we look back on what God has been doing and why He does it. And so that's the question as we look back. What was God doing in this past year in our lives? What was God doing in this past year here in the church? And why was He doing it? Well, here's what He is doing, the text says. Sanctifying and preserving. Sanctifying and preserving. That's what He's been doing in our lives as pilgrims on our way to our heavenly home. Why does God sanctify and preserve? Well, He does it not because we're so faithful to Him. We're not. And that's not shocking to you. But what is really shocking is His faithfulness to us. He sanctifies, He preserves, because He is a God who is faithful. This is a passage really about theology. Who God is and what He does in our lives as His people who are being brought to heavenly glory. So we consider that under the theme tonight, between the already and the not yet. Between the already and the not yet. We notice, first of all, our position. We're in this position between the already and the not yet. And I'll explain that in a moment. Secondly, we want to see God's work as we're in this position. And then finally, we want to see why He does it. It's because He is faithful. The already refers to what God has already done for our salvation. The not yet refers to what He is yet going to bring us as He works this salvation. So we'll look at that in a moment, but the not yet is heaven. It's everlasting life with Him. We're between that and what He has already done. What has God already done? Well, when we look back at what God has already done, this takes us all the way back to God's counsel, doesn't it? He has ordained the salvation of His people. He's the God of election. We read that in chapter 1, verse 4. And God is the one who, for His elect, has determined how that salvation will be accomplished. That's part of the already. But also the already includes, and this is especially, that God has sent His Son to deliver His elect from the wrath to come. Throughout the Old Testament, God promised to send the Redeemer. God promised to send the seed of the woman who would save His people from their sins. And in the fullness of time, this Redeemer, our Savior, came. He came to bear the wrath that we deserved for all of our sins. And He did that when He hung upon the cross. But what we note about that here tonight is that our redemption has been accomplished. It's part of the already. Our redemption has been accomplished in full. It is finished. That's what Jesus Himself said when He hung upon the cross. It is finished. And that is what God said when He raised His Son from the dead. He said, God did, My Son finished the work that I gave Him to do. He has redeemed us, both body and soul. And because of this redemption, we have the right to all of the blessings of salvation. Some of them we have now, but there are more blessings of salvation that are yet to come. So we see this is all part of the already, what God has determined to be done, what God has accomplished already in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And the text is pointing to that when the text speaks to us of the fact that God is the God of peace. He's the source of peace. He has given us peace with Him through our Lord Jesus Christ. But there's more to the already. The text also speaks of the fact that God is the one who calls us. That's verse 24. Faithful is He that calleth you. This is part of God's work that He has already done in us. Part of that work of calling is a work that He has done internally. Before we are called, we first need the life of Jesus Christ within us. We need to be made alive. This is what God has done in regeneration. He's made us alive. He's given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has implanted in our hearts the life of Jesus Christ. What an amazing work of God. He's given to us a spiritual heart transplant. And we have this life of the Lord Jesus Christ already in us as His people. But as those who have that life, we are then called. There are two aspects to this calling of God. There's an internal and there's an external. The internal is the work of the Holy Spirit. The external is the Word. So that when the Word comes and the Holy Spirit works in our hearts, God calls us out of darkness into light. And what God does when He calls us is He makes us aware, conscious of our salvation. We come to see and know that we are saved. That's part of what God has done already for us as His people. He's called us so that we know that we are saved. We know that we are sons and daughters of His. It's because God, by His Spirit, has irresistibly drawn us to Christ. And part of calling is that we're called out of something and called then to something. We're called out of the darkness of sin, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of Satan. We're called out of that powerfully and effectually by Christ. But we're called into then a relationship of love and friendship with Him. The Holy Spirit draws us irresistibly to Christ. That's all part of the already. The already. But there's also then that which is to come. There's the not yet. The text also speaks of that when it talks about our being preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ refers, of course, to the day when Jesus Christ will return. He will return for judgment.
And he will return as well for the purpose of bringing his church to dwell with him in body and soul forever. But now let's understand, when we say not yet, and when I say not yet, when it comes to our salvation, we're not talking about the basis or the foundation of our salvation. It's not that anything more has to be done as the foundation or basis of our salvation. But instead, the idea is we don't yet experience the fullness of the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. It has not been fully brought to us, or we've not been fully brought to it. We want to see and understand then tonight that there is no idea here that Jesus Christ has to do something more to pay for our sins, or something more has to be done for payment. That's not at all what I mean, nor is this how we should understand that. Not, of course, in a Roman Catholic sense, where they say Jesus Christ needs to continue to be offered on the altar of the Mass for our ongoing sins. That's not it. His sacrifice on the cross has once accomplished our redemption and salvation. Not only that, we should see and understand tonight that we should not look at this from the perspective that, well, God has done His part, now we have to do our part. That God has done most of what's needed to bridge the gap, but now we must bridge it the rest of the way. That's not the idea here at all. But the idea is the full realization, the completion, the fullness of this salvation is not yet what we experience. So what is the not yet? The not yet is perfect living in a perfect world. Perfect living in a perfect world. We know what that is conceptually, but it's so hard to imagine. Perfect living? That's the not yet. That's what we will have one day. Perfect life with God. Seeing God in the face of Jesus Christ without the distortions of sin, and without sin clinging to us in our praise and worship of Him. It's a life in a perfect world, the new heavens and the new earth, where there will be no more sorrows and no more tears and no more suffering, no more sickness, no more pain, and no more attacks of an enemy against us. Perfect living in a perfect world. In this life, we will have changed bodies, changed souls, and we will have the fullness of covenant life with God. The inner and the outer man will be perfect and adapted to life in heaven. Notice that the text speaks of body and soul and spirit, all of that perfect in life with God. And we will dwell in a world without all of the effects of sin. You see, now the creation groans and travails, waiting for the redemption which is to come, even for this creation. But then there will be the new heavens and the new earth, this earth refined and made to be part of heaven, and there we will dwell forevermore. That is the not yet. So the text is speaking about the already, what's been accomplished by Jesus Christ, and what has been worked in us already, and yet there is something to come. The fullness is yet to come, the not yet. And you and I are between that. We're between that. We don't yet have the fullness, but we do have the beginning of it. There's the already for us. That's our present position right here at the end of 2019 as we head into 2020. And that's the position of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ as she lives and dwells here on this earth. And even for the church dwelling in heavenly glory right now in their souls, they still don't have the fullness of this. There's progress, but they still don't have the fullness. But let's see and understand what this means for us right now. Right now, we are smack dab in between these two realities. And what that means for us is that none of us is complete. There's this ongoing battle against sin and temptation that still rages in our lives. Our lives are a battlefield every day. Even right here, our lives are a battlefield. The decisive victory has been won by Jesus Christ on the cross. Nonetheless, there is a battle that is still going on, and we experience that. We're struggling with sin that wants to rule in our hearts and in our lives. We're not even close to being spotless or perfect, that which we will have. The Heidelberg Catechism is right when it says we have a small beginning of this obedience. No matter how old we are and how much progress has been made by the grace of God, we only have a small beginning. In many ways, when we take a look back at our lives, we're still a mess in the way that we live our lives. There's so many things that we shouldn't say that we do. There's so many things we shouldn't look at that we look at. There's so many things we shouldn't listen to that we listen to. So many things we do that we shouldn't do. We still give in to wrong thoughts and desires. We behave in ways that expose the idols of our hearts. We're trying to find security in ourselves or in the defense mechanisms that we have, and we can't find protection and safety in ourselves or in our works. And what makes it even more difficult is we live in a fallen world where there's all kinds of suffering, and we're struggling to respond to that and to the circumstances of our lives in a right way. So here we pause and we reflect and we look back in 2019, and part of what we see is that. So much sin, great struggle. Not just the circumstances of life, but the spiritual struggle that's part of it. Responding in faith, obeying and doing what God calls us to do. We see a great mess. We see a mess that we've made of things. And at the same time, there's the already. There's the work of Jesus Christ. It's finished on the cross. And there's the not yet, where we are going to. But when we see our sins, this can be so disheartening and so discouraging. That's why I believe this word is so important for us tonight. This is just point one. Now we get to the comfort and the strength that is found in this as we look back upon this past year. So the question is, in the middle of all of this, as we're between the already and the not yet, what is God doing? What is God working in our lives? Well, the text is speaking to that. Verse 24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. The text is saying that God is doing something in our lives. What is it that God is doing in this time between the already and the not yet? Well, the text tells us there are really two things that God is doing. It doesn't mean it's limited to this, but this is what the text zeroes in on. He's sanctifying and he is preserving. He is sanctifying and he is preserving. That's verse 23. So verse 24, when it speaks of God doing it, it's pointing back to this work. So go back to verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We should see and understand that this is a prayer of the Apostle Paul for the church. He's expressing in these words desire, what he wishes, what he desires to happen in the lives of the people of God in the church in Thessalonica. That's the idea of both of those verbs, sanctify and preserve. It's a desire being expressed, really the prayer of Paul. But in this prayer of Paul, we see what it is that God is doing. In this prayer is revealed the zealous goal of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. The zealous goal of God is the full deliverance from sin in our lives so that the sin would be broken and destroyed. Another way to put it is that God is not satisfied with us as we are right now. Now, that doesn't mean there's something wrong in His work. He's satisfied with the finished work of Jesus Christ. He is, and Christ's righteousness is ours, but He's not satisfied with us as we are right now. Now, that doesn't mean we have to do something to change. We can't change ourselves, but it's saying here that God is changing us. That's one of the things we learn about God. God is never satisfied with a job that is incomplete. Now just think about that in contrast to us. Some of us more than others might be satisfied with incomplete work. Maybe we've got a bunch of different projects sitting around or unfinished books. We've started them and haven't finished it. But God's not that way. He's not satisfied with something that is incomplete. And at this point, from this perspective of sin still in being in our lives, we are incomplete. We're not yet what God is bringing us to. So God never does His work poorly or incompletely. It's never done with a lick and a promise, as some might say. And so our God is not satisfied until the last enemy is under His feet and His final kingdom has come in its fullness. And so He is not satisfied until we are completely delivered from sin in our lives. This is God's work of sanctification. Remember, this is the work of God that's going on in our lives in this life now until we are brought to heaven. He's sanctifying us. The word sanctification there is an interesting word. It means to set apart. It means to separate. That's what God does in His work of salvation, and specifically in sanctification. What He's doing is He's setting us apart from sin. He's separating us from the sin that is found within us. And when we look at sanctification, we see and understand that sanctification is something that is a principle. There's the principle of holiness that is worked in us. Another way to put it is, we have the holiness of Jesus Christ within us. That's the gift that we have as those who are recreated in the image of God and His Son, Jesus Christ. This word that we have for sanctification in the text is the word from which comes the New Testament word saint. We are saints. Not because we're perfect, but because we have the holiness of Jesus Christ within us. That principle is there, but that doesn't mean that we are fully holy at this time. We still have sin within us. That holiness comes to us from the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:14 and 15 point that out, that He who died and rose again did that in order that we no longer serve ourselves, but Him who died for us and rose again. The power of this holiness arises out of Jesus Christ Himself and His work on the cross. This is a blessing that flows out of the cross of Christ. And now the Holy Spirit is working in us, exposing sin, showing us where we fall so far short, and turning us from our sin, so that more and more we're walking in God's ways. It's the Holy Spirit who is working in us so that we grow in holiness in our lives. This is what God has been doing in our lives in 2019. And then you start going back 2018, 2017. This is the work that our God has been doing in our lives, sanctifying us. In this past year, where there is growth, and we see that growth in the midst of all of our sin, it's a growth that He has given to us. Growth where we
repented, where we confess sin, where our sin was exposed, and we fell on our knees before God and cried out for forgiveness for that sin. God was doing that work in this past year. It's a work that He's doing slowly and powerfully. He could have said, I suppose, that He would do it all at once, but it's not His will to do it all at once. But He's working on us slowly, chipping away at those sins, polishing us slowly over time until that day when we're in heavenly glory, then we will be without all sin. But until that day, this is what God is doing. He is sanctifying us. Along with that, God preserves. God preserves. We look back at 2019. We're here tonight wanting to worship our great God. Why? Because God has preserved us in our salvation. We see and understand that when it comes to preservation, God's work of salvation is full and complete. It's all His work. The idea is never this, that God gives us a push start. You know, like when a child is first learning how to ride his or her bike, and we walk along or jog alongside that bike, kind of holding it, and then let him go. That's not God in salvation, that He's helping us along the way until finally He just lets us go, and then we're on our own. That's not how God works in salvation. But God preserves so that when we fall into sin, He picks us up. We don't stay in that sin, but He pulls us out of that sin. He may have to chasten us. He brings the Word to expose our sin, but He brings us to repentance and change in our lives. So we look back at 2019. What has God been doing in the church and in our lives? Well, this He's been doing. He's been preserving us by His grace. He's given us His Word and His Spirit to preserve us in our salvation so that we do not fall away from that salvation. We do not fall out of grace. Impossible for that to happen to one who is a child of God. Now, as we look at this work of God, sanctification, preservation, there's something else we want to see in the text. The text assures us of this. The text says, this is certain. Verse 24 says, who also will do it? Notice the simplicity of those words. Who also will do it? Never fear is the idea here. God will do it. This is the plain and simple assurance of God. God will sanctify and preserve until the coming of Jesus Christ. And that tells us about God Himself. He will not get tired of us. He doesn't give up on us. He doesn't have a short attention span. He doesn't get distracted. He doesn't get discouraged. He never wonders if it's worth it. He never considers pulling back and saying, I think I'm finished here. God is not a God who does that. His promise to us is He will do it. He will do it. Now, the beauty of those words is magnified the more we see and understand all of our sin. We see and understand the fact that we have stumbled and we've faltered in so many ways, and the Word comes to us and says, He will do it. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ, as we read in Philippians 1, verse 6. So not is this encouragement for us as we look back, it's really encouragement for us as we look forward. The God who has preserved and sanctified us in this past year, He will continue to do that work as we go forward in our lives. It's important for us to hear that word tonight. That this is the work that God is doing in our lives. And I believe that's important for us to hear because sometimes we can be very satisfied, too satisfied with where we are at spiritually. I think, I know enough. I've reached a good level in my walk with God, in my life of holiness. We're satisfied sometimes with being right where we are at. And that doesn't align with what God's doing, with what God's goal is in our lives. Along with that, we can be distracted by the things of this world, and we want to quit pressing on in the race of this life towards the prize that Reverend Decker is going to preach about tomorrow morning. We get distracted in this. We get weighed down by sin. And the Word of God reminds us, no, this is what God is doing. He's sanctifying and He's preserving until the day He brings us to be with Him forevermore in body and soul. So this is what God is doing. Why? Why does God do this? Why is this God's goal with us? Well, God's goal is sanctification and preservation until the day of Jesus Christ, because He is faithful. That's verse 24. Faithful is He that calleth you. The God who has begun this, He will complete it. Why? Because He is faithful. It's not because of our faithfulness, it's because of His faithfulness. What does it mean that God is faithful? It's a beautiful idea and concept. You find that in many passages in Scripture. We sang it tonight. We know it. We read it. Lamentations 3, great is Thy faithfulness. And we know, of course, the hymn that arises out of that as well. Great is Thy faithfulness, O God our Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. Great is Thy faithfulness. Part of that faithfulness is the very fact that God doesn't change. He's immutable. He doesn't change His mind. This is why He doesn't turn away from this work that He's doing. This is why He doesn't get discouraged in it. It's because He is faithful. It's the very character of God. It's connected to God's covenant. The idea is when God says He will do something, He does it. He gives promises to His people, and when He promises to do something, He doesn't turn back on those promises. He doesn't say, I changed my mind, I'm not going to do that. We change our minds, but not God. He promises to do certain things, and He does them because He is a God who changes not. He is a God who is faithful. He is a God whose compassions fail not and change not. So this is the beauty of who God is. God promises you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Make it specific. 2019. God said to you, I will not leave you nor forsake you. Did He? He didn't. He didn't leave us or forsake us. He says to us, I will forgive you. Did God forgive us? Yes. We repented of our sins. We know that God forgave us. He promises to do that. Then when it comes to heaven, we've not been there yet. Well, we know the other promises of God. And now He promises, I will give you heaven. Do we know that that's sure and certain? Yes, we do. Why? Because God is faithful. What He promises, He will do. So at the end of 2019, we are assured of God's faithfulness to us. He is faithful in His mercy and His grace and His love for His people. He is faithful to His promises, not because we are faithful to Him, for we are not. He is faithful to us because that's His very character. He is a God who is faithful. And because He was faithful, this is what He will do. Sanctify and preserve and bring to heavenly glory. How beautiful is that, to know the faithfulness of God. If there's one thing that we leave with tonight, may it be that. God is faithful. Three words. God is faithful. When we're hurting and struggling, when we're doubting, repeat those words. God is faithful. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, those are the words there. In His faithfulness, He provides a way of escape for us. In our times of trouble, God is faithful. Is faithful, and He is.
And we give thanks for that. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we give thanks for Thy faithfulness. For Thy faithfulness in love and grace and mercy. That Thy compassions change not and fail not. Because Thou art a God who always does what Thou hast promised to do. Grant us hope and comfort in the midst of the trials and sufferings and sin of this life. That we would know Thy powerful work of sanctifying and preserving us until the very end when we will be brought to our heavenly home. Go with us in this night. Bless times of fellowship that we may enjoy. And bring us back here in the morning that we may begin the new year looking ahead with Thy promises on our minds and in our hearts. We pray this all for Jesus' sake. Amen.